Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. The Legend of Georgia McBride opens tonight at the Milwaukee Rep. It's the story of an Elvis impersonator who has to change his act when his club hires drag performers to bring in more customers. The show is funny and heartfelt and full of feathers and sequins. And the person in charge of those feathers and sequins and all the rest of the costuming for the show is Patrick Holt. Holt is a professional costume designer and a professor of design at the University of Arizona. He's also a drag performer himself with the stage name of Tempest Du Jour. I met Holt at the Rep to find out more about the Legend of Georgia McBride and about drag itself. Patrick, it is such a pleasure to have you on Lake Effect. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting.
Well, I want to talk about drag.
Let's do it.
I want to talk about it as a phenomenon and what it means. And so starting with yourself, how did you get interested in it? What was it about it that drew you to the art form?
Well, there's a multifaceted answer here. I think a lot of it was probably the fact that I was raised in a very conservative religious home. and the first time I saw drag, it was like opening the door in The Wizard of Oz at Dorothy, and everything was suddenly in Technicolor. And I saw these people who had total joy, no excuses, and we're just living this heightened reality that to me seemed completely magical. Who wouldn't that appeal to is the question, right? To me, it was fascinating. You know, it was a little closeted gay Mormon kid who saw another life in another world that I didn't know existed. And to me, it was just, it was magic.
We as humans just have a fascination with transgression in terms of gender, whether it's men to women, women to men, whatever it might happen to be. I mean, Shakespeare plays with it all the time. And I find it fascinating that we as a species seem to need this, that this is something we require. And I never thought of drag that way until I was older. And I thought, wait, you know, I think this is something we all require in some form.
It's interesting, you know, the evolution of men performing as women is fascinating to me. I've studied, you know, when I'm not designing great theatrical productions like this one, I'm a professor at the University of Arizona, and I've spent a lot of time studying this, you know, from the beginnings of ancient theater where women weren't allowed, and so men played all the roles, into Shakespeare where there were actors like Nathan Field who made a career. He originated the part of Desdemona and Juliet, and then on through history. And people, I don't think Americans especially understand the history of men playing women's roles and how huge that was. There were, you know, at the turn of the century and into the 1912s and 20s, there were Broadway stars who did complete drag shows that are sort of lost to history. They were so popular. One, Julian L. Tinge was so popular, he had a women's magazine where he gave advice to women, and he was a big star. And somewhere along the way, that became dirty and immoral. I have lots of theories about why is that so, but show me, you know, the most hetero, you know, frat bro that hasn't dressed in drag for Halloween or something. So there is this need to explore that somehow, or to feel the silliness of it, or to sort of revel in something completely different. I'm not sure. I'm not a psychologist, but for me, it's joy. I call it the mask of drag. When I put on drag, it's a mask to me. I get to be this person that I don't have to be in normal life. I can walk into any club in drag and people want their picture with me and I'm friends with everybody. I walk in as Patrick, myself, and no one takes a second look. It's a magical thing to me. And that mask has, I think, magical powers.
It's interesting to me that, you know, as men dressing as women, is taking that transgression, you know, or finding the feminine in themselves, whatever that happens to be. I find it interesting as a woman from my perspective, because it's like, you know, to me, male equals power in our society. So why would you want to give that up?
Yeah, that's fascinating to me. And I've thought about that actually quite a bit. And I don't really have an answer to that, except that I think there was a certain relief that I know many of us experience in drag. And maybe there's a feminine side of us that we need to let out or explore. But I also know drag queens who you would never in a million years guess were even, you know, nothing but the butchest of the straight guy in the world when they're out of drag. It's whatever that need is, and maybe it's just attention. Maybe it's as simple as that, just the attention you get from being in drag. But maybe it is deeper for some people. They need to explore that feminine side and what that means. I don't like when people equate it to sexuality and to sexual identity, because it has, to me, nothing to do with that. It's an art form, an expression. It's a character I play. It's not who I am. I don't want to be a woman. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be a woman. You know, transgender people and cross-dressing people are not drag queens. And drag queens don't consider themselves that either. There's a very defined line between those worlds. What we do is entertainment in drag. It's not an identifier to us beyond that.
And so when you first started, did you have your character in mind from the beginning, or is that something that developed over time as you performed?
I think my character as Tempest Du Jour has I had a pretty clear idea.
Which is a great name. Well, I love drag names.
Thank you. I had a pretty clear idea what I wanted to do and be. I felt very limited in the beginning too, because I'm as a man flat-footed, I'm 6'6". When I started drag, I was 160 pounds heavier, so I was this big giant man, and I thought I have to be silly because when I walk in heels and hair, I'm hitting 8 feet. You know, I'm a giant queen.
Kind of divine.
Yeah, and you know, I should be so lucky. Yeah. But yeah, to me, the camp and the kitsch and the comedy of drag is what's most appealing to me. I've seen, you know, there's so many genres of drag that are acceptable now. Every genre is acceptable. There's room for everyone at the drag table. Even, you know, there's a big trend of bio queens now who are, you know, women who do drag, and you know, every sort of variation you can think of exists in drag, which is something that is so appealing to me and makes it so beautiful. I'm 52 years old, so I grew up in a generation of Flip Wilson and Klinger on MASH and Tootsie in high school, and we didn't have drag images on television or in film necessarily. And those
that were powerful.
That were powerful, or even right. That even kind of existed other than a joke.
Right.
And but there was something about it that I saw that was very liberating to these men who put on dresses and were able to entertain and get away with stuff that you couldn't normally get away with. And I think that, to me, was a big appeal. And when I'm in drag and a mic in my hand, it does sort of excuse you from a lot of things. It's like being a stand-up comic in many ways, that people, you can get away with saying things that you wouldn't otherwise, being a social mirror.
I think of it almost like the fool in Shakespeare, being able to speak truth to power in any way, shape, or form and getting away with
it. That's exactly, you've nailed it. That's exactly what it is.
And it's also fabulous in that it's so over the top in so many ways, and that you get to experience that. I mean, I remember when I first learned what drag was, I was probably a teenager, and I'm a little older than you are, and I remember thinking, but wait, you know, I want to do that too. Because at that time it was, you know, men do drag,
right.
You know, women don't do that. But like you say, now it's kind of, you can exaggerate and find a character and wear the fabulous costumes or the over the top, whatever it is you want to do, whoever it is that you are in that mask. And I think that's a really wonderful thing.
It's amazing. I think we have RuPaul to thank for, you know, it's so cliche to say now that RuPaul mainstream drag, but really RuPaul mainstream drag with the popularity of RuPaul's Drag Race. And it just opened the eyes of so many people around the world. It plays everywhere now. And there's, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race, of course, in America and in the UK now. There's an Australian one season starting next year. There's the Thailand series. So in Canada, it's expanding, and the popularity of drag has been incredible. And thank God for it. I mean, it's such an amazing sort of an expression of creativity and for so many people, and to see young kids especially not have to hide and have that sort of vehicle for expression is of course something I'm jealous of because we didn't have that. But I embrace it, and I think it's wonderful.
So in the role, you're not actually doing a drag role here at The Rep. You are actually designing costumes for other people to do drag roles. And so when you move into that part of your expertise, how are you approaching that and thinking about those characters that are not your character?
Well, you know, every time I design costumes for a show, I try to make it as personal as I can by identifying a character with somebody I know or somebody I'm familiar with, so I can get into the deep details of who they are and why they would wear what they wear and those sorts of things. This show is easy because I know so many different drag queens and kinds and genres of drag queens. And so it's like I know these girls already. I know who they are. I know their motivation. I know where they came from. And it's such a joy. I've said before, and I'll say again, I would make a career of just designing this show if I could, because it's so much fun. And everyone who plays the role, this is the third time I've designed this show, everyone who plays the drag roles comes in with their own level of exposure and experience to drag and their own history. And it's so fun to sort of mold that character with them and decide what's most appropriate.
Do you find that some of the actors coming in doing this in the times that you've designed this have discovered things about themselves as they have negotiated whoever this character is and what they might wear, that they find things out about themselves personally that you might not necessarily in, I don't know, Arthur Miller?
Well, yeah, for sure. I think, you know, we have the luxury, in a sense, in this production of the two leads who are coming and playing drag characters. Well, all three of them who play drag characters have experience in drag. That can be a bonus or not so much, because they have ideas coming in of what they think they should be or what they want to be based on their own drag characters. But I love exploring that with them. I'll sit in a fitting as we're trying stuff on, and I'm sort of half observer and half psychologist in the fitting room of watching how they react, putting things on, and when they feel comfortable enough to make suggestions or not. And it's a give and take. Many times we hit it right on the head and they love what they wear. And you see them put something on and you see something click in them as well. Like, oh, I get it. This is where we are and this is where we're going. And that's the magic to me of costume design. That's why I love that so much. It's creating people and characters. And I love to see them find that joy.
You've done this three times. How has it fed back into your own drag performances? Or has it?
You know, I say this is the perfect play for someone who has much experience with drag or zero experience with drag. It runs the gamut of emotions of a drag in this play. There's so many joyful, like happy, silly moments. But there's also some incredibly deep and powerful and gut-wrenching moments as well. I always say you'll laugh and you'll cry. There was that old line, you'll laugh, you'll cry, it's better than Cats, which we can say in all sincerity now, relating to the movie.
Yes.
But but there's these moments where every character in the play has this moment of truth and these moments of epiphany where they discover something about themselves, about drag, about the other people around them. And it's so beautifully stated. Matthew Lopez, who wrote the play, does a genius job of expressing where we've come from and why it's necessary.
I am so looking forward to seeing this. Will we ever have a chance up here to see you perform?
Well, last year I was here performing what we call sort of a regular club gig at a local club. I was hoping to try to perform while I was here this time. The schedule probably won't allow it. But I'll be back. Never count me out.
Good. And I'd love to come and see you perform.
I would love for you to come see it. Yeah.
But anyway, Patrick, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Patrick Holt is the costume designer for The Legend of Georgia McBride, opening at the Milwaukee Rep tonight. There's more information and some photos from the show at WUWM.com.